I do have a few notices. People who received notices by email didn't get them this week, but we've mentioned it to Fiona. She's got a new computer and there's been the occasional glitch, so they'll come out. And I'll highlight a couple of important things. Yesterday we had the Board Games Day, and they raised £209, and there were 40 people who came. Sometimes we forget that these things that we do in the community are outreach. It's the same with our toddler group. But it would be nice if more people came from church just to play a game. Bring a pack of cards and a friend, you know, bring your own games. It's a really lovely afternoon and evening and very enjoyable. The next one will be on the 16th of November. And there are some cakes left over, and board games usually raise their money for church funds. Personal request, please, for help with breakfast church on the 5th of October. I know it's an early start, but by then I will have left Poynton. Next week will be my last Sunday, and I cannot come back from Cambridgeshire to do breakfast church, and I'm going to a party in Surrey that day, so I really can't come back. So there you go. So if anybody could help, Jonathan isn't very well at the moment, and he's taking over, and everything's set up, but just somebody even to come and wash up the dishes afterwards would be great. Thank you. And more important and more imminent is help for the concert next week. And Richard will say a few words about that. Oh, one more thing before you do. Christine's put up a list for you to sign if you need a lift to a circuit service. We have to be very careful with safeguarding, and it's understandable. It's not a silly thing. About organising rotas for transport. But if anybody would like a lift, those who are going can check that list, get in touch with you, and maybe offer you one. So please do sign up if you'd like to go to the circuit services in Macclesfield and want help. Richard, your turn.
So just a few words about the concert next week, or the concerts next week. Just a reminder, there's one at 4:30, there's one at 7:30. They'll last for about an hour. They are some of the most fantastic musicians in Cheshire that are performing for us, so it'll be an absolutely splendid event. I'd really encourage you all to come along. If you feel you can contribute by doing helping out a little bit, there's a sheet here that I'm going to leave in the foyer on the desk just by the door there. Actually, the jobs are filling up, so we're getting there. So it might be you just have a look at that, but I'm hoping that by the end of the day we'll get the jobs. So basically, I'm going to be here to welcome. There'll be somebody on admissions taking the donations as people come in, so we're still short of a couple of people to do that. I think we've now almost got everybody to help with the refreshments that we want. It would also be nice to have somebody to help do a little bit of tidying up at the end. There might be a little bit of rearrangement of chairs, and obviously there'll be a little bit of washing up at the end. So if you feel you can contribute in that way, please do. We're also looking for people who'd be prepared to do a little bit of baking, just so we've got a rough idea of what's coming and if we have to get any more. We'd be useful if you could sign in on this sheet, which I'll also line there. It just specifies, it'd be useful to know whether you're likely to contribute cakes, biscuits or tray bakes, just so we've got a mix of them. Just a reminder, this is a Creation Tide event where we express our care for the planet, and cooking without dairy produce, without milk and without butter or eggs is a substantial contribution to our looking after the planet. So we'd like to serve food that's plant-based. If you're struggling with recipes, come and ask me and I will provide you with all the recipes. There is some absolutely fantastic pumpkin tray bake left over from the games day yesterday. That is just one of the most gorgeous bits of cake that you can eat. So if you want to be inspired, get to the refreshments as quickly as possible and get yourself one of the things. It's the one with the little pink sugary things on top. So go for that one, and it'll inspire you. And I should say, Helen baked those, Helen Holmes. Final thing is, what you could really, really, really help with is getting people to come along. If you feel there's somewhere you could put a poster, some local shop or something, you could talk into putting up a poster. There are A4 posters, there are A5 posters, and if you just like a little slip of paper that you could give to a friend, there are about 100 of these little slips of paper to give to a friend and invite them along. They're all in a little bit of little box on the table on the way on the right as you go through the entrance. So take as many of those as you want and invite as many people as we want, because this is a fundraising event for our charities. It's an opportunity to outreach to the local community, invite them into our church, and it's about celebrating our planet, and it's about looking after our planet. And for all those reasons, I'd really look to you for your support in all those different ways. After that, I'll just shut up and I'll let Mandy take over the
This is an own arrangement service gone awry. Everything seems to be going awry this morning. The clicker's not working, the mobile's not spinning. But not to worry, we're here. It's gone awry because the people who would have helped me and shared it out have had the audacity to go on holiday. Or some have been in hospital, I'll forgive them. And some are ill now, we might forgive them. So it's down to Chris and I, and he couldn't say I'm on holiday or I'm ill. Thank you, Chris. Let's just be quiet for a moment. And let's just appreciate all that God has given to us. So let's pray. Thank you. Will you say the words in bold type, please? Lord God, early in the morning, when the world was young, you made life in all its beauty and wonder. You gave birth to all that we know. Holy is your name, our great Creator. Early in the morning, when the world least expected it, a newborn child crying in a cradle announced that you had come among us, that you were one of us. Holy is your name, Emmanuel, God with us. Early in the morning, surrounded by respectable liars, religious leaders, anxious statesmen, and silent friends, you accepted the penalty for doing good, for being God. You shouldered and suffered the cross. Holy is your name, Saviour, Redeemer. Early in the morning, a voice in a guarded graveyard and footsteps in the dew proved that you had risen, that you had come back to those and for those who had forgotten, denied, and destroyed you. Hallowed be your name, risen, ascended, King of kings. Early in the morning, a little before 9, you sent your Holy Spirit on those who followed you to comfort, inspire, encourage and embolden them to spread the news of Earth's redemption. Hallowed be your name, living power, and all this for us here today. So this morning, we celebrate your creation, your birth and life, your death and resurrection, your power released into the world, your great love for us. And so we put our words into a song. Again next week as well. Aren't I the lucky one? What I wanted to do for these 2 weeks was expand a little on what Richard has provided for us. We can't do any other, can we? I mean, it's just fantastic, especially when these do go round. And our banner makers have added to it. And Richard, if he does nothing else, by heck, he makes us think, doesn't he? Yes. About what we should be doing. But he pointed out last week, and I thought, please don't go on any further, Richard. I want to talk about that. We've got a phrase up on the banners twice. Walk humbly with your God. Walk humbly with your God. Words of the prophet Micah. Micah's probably best known for prophesying that Bethlehem would be the birthplace of the Messiah. Says this, "But you, Bethlehem, though you are small among the clans of Judah, out of you will come for me one who will be ruler over Israel, whose origins are from of old, from ancient times. But before we hear what else Micah said, who is he? What do we know about him? Well, he lived in a small rural village called Morasheth. I'm not sure that's how you pronounce it, but that's how it's written, about 25 miles southwest of Jerusalem, not very far from what we call now the Gaza Strip. And we all know where that is, sadly. He lived in the mid to early 8th century before Christ, and he may have studied under one of the Isaiahs. We think there are three Isaiahs, not one. But while these Isaiahs lived in the city of Jerusalem, in the thick of religion and politics, Micah was a countryman. No wonder then in the first chapter we find him championing the cause of the poor and the powerless and wagging his finger in no uncertain terms at the wealthy, the corrupt business leaders who exploited the weak for personal gain. He even condemns the priests and the prophets for being in it for the money. Not something we could charge our ministers of, is it? But he reserves his most scathing criticism for the hollow religious practices of his day. Religion has become a matter of form, of ceremonial observances, mostly of a sacrifice. And these were thought to meet all the religious requirements. The people believed if they performed all these sacrifices, they were entitled to God's divine favor and protection. In absolute disgust, Micah asks them, or tells them, what they should be offering God. So we hear words from Micah 6, verses 6 to 8.
With what shall I come before the Lord and bow down before the exalted God? Shall I come before him with burnt offerings, with calves a year old? Will the Lord be pleased with thousands of rams, with 10,000 rivers of olive oil? Shall I offer my firstborn for my transgression, the fruit of my body for the sin of my soul? He has shown you, O mortal, what is good. And what does the Lord require of you? Three things: to act justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with your God. Amen.
Micah spells his message out by exaggeration, doesn't he? Not even the very precious calves a year old, or thousands of rams, or even your firstborn child will suffice, or an extravagant river of oil for anointing people. No, he has shown you what is good: to act justly, love mercy, and walk humbly with your God. It's not often I end up with a three-point sermon. I must be improving. But these are the gifts that God wants, God's short list, if you like, and they're all verbs: act justly, love mercy, walk humbly. The Methodist Church has a new resource hub on its website. And if you can find your way around it, it looks as though it will provide us with some really good material. And here's a taster. I found a song all about Micah's 3 points, 3 actions. The prophet speaks from days gone by, for your truth spans all time. Help us to hear your voice and live, your justice and your peace. To a tune we know. Prophet Micah speaks just as clearly today as he spoke 3,000 years ago. Let's look into what exactly he's saying. Act justly. What does that mean? Let me set you a puzzle. Some of you have seen this before. If you have, keep quiet. Right? I found this in a novel I was reading, and I thought, my goodness, that's just right. Imagine a river. And now I can't read what it says up there. A river has a crocodile in it, so you cannot swim across it, although it's not very wide. Jane and Peter, who live on opposite sides of the river, are madly in love. You can see the hearts, at least I hope you can. One day, Jane receives a phone call. Jane, you've got to come. I'm dying. Please come now and save me. What can she do? She's got no boat. She'll have to get in her car and drive 6 miles round because the bridge is down. That's going to take time. So she runs next door to Eric's house because he has a boat and you can row across the river far faster than the crocodile will appear, you hope. So she runs to Eric and pleads with him to help. But Eric's, how shall we put it? If you don't like stories and you're easily upset, don't listen, right? Eric says, unless you sleep with me, I'm not taking you. Well, she's not having that, so she runs to Bill's house further along the bank, explains to him and says, "Please come with me and persuade Eric to help me." Well, Bill is absolutely disgusted and says, "No way am I going in that man's house. He's an abomination. Sort yourself out." And he shut the door. So what could she do? Bill's dying. Peter's dying, or so she thinks. So she runs back to Eric's house and she does as he asks. At least Eric had the goodness to then get the boat out and row her across. She arrives at Peter's house expecting to find him at death's door. He doesn't look that bad, she thinks. Flipping heck, he's got a dose of man's flu. So she tells him what she's had to go through to get to him and how worried she was. Well, Peter is absolutely and utterly disgusted with her and throws her out. So much for love, hey? So she then runs along the bank again to Sam's house. Sam's her brother. And she's in floods of tears and she says, tell Sam exactly what's happened. Sam is a redhead and he's absolutely livid. I shouldn't mock redheads, should I? You know what I mean. So he rushes to Peter's house and without more of ado, he gets his fists out, thump, and knocks him out. Lovely neighbourhood, isn't it? Poynton's not like this. Like EastEnders. The question I want to pose to you is, who behaved the worst? Was it Sam for losing his temper and not stopping to think? Was it Peter for exaggerating his illness and then not trusting his wife and being, well, absolutely ashamed of her when all she was doing was trying to help him? I don't think we could say it was Jane, unless you think giving in to Eric she shouldn't have done. Is it Eric who forced her to do something she didn't want? And it can't be Bill, can it? You've heard it before. I tried this out at Presbury last week, and most people voted for either Peter or a brother. Or Eric. Well done. All of them. It is true. But really, the person who's most at fault is Bill. Because he did absolutely nothing. And he could have stopped it all, couldn't he? He could have even gone and pinched the boat. We cannot afford to sit back and do nothing. Whatever we're thinking about, especially climate change at this time, we cannot sit back and do nothing. How else could we act justly? Well, practical measures supporting the disadvantaged, supporting the food bank, just dropping some food in the box every Sunday, giving your unwanted clothes to the charity shops, taking in a refugee. We cannot afford to do nothing as Christians. But then I also need to ask ourselves, what's the root cause to all this? If we solve problems like unfair wages, unclean water, unfair tax laws, tax dodgers, climate change, the world would be a much better place. So maybe the crocodile had his part to play in that story, didn't he? If he wasn't there, all would have been well. Think about justice, but say to yourself, we cannot sit back and do nothing. What else did Micah say? Love, mercy. A businessman wanted to have a professional photo taken. When the photographer was done, the man looked at his photo and complained, "Well, that doesn't do me justice." The photographer responded, "With a face like yours, you don't need justice. You need mercy." The word mercy to me usually equates with forgiveness. And that's part of it. It's got to be. We have to learn to forgive and be forgiven. But the Hebrew word is much wider than that. Scholars translate it loyalty, goodness, and more often than not, kindness. To love, kindness. Christopher.
Well, I suppose the reason I'm here today is because of kindness. It's an example of friendship evangelism or kindness evangelism. It's a long process. It's a continuing process. I was brought up as an Anglican, but by the time I went to university, it had lapsed, basically. And I found myself, as captain of the badminton team, struggling to find it. A time for practicing because of the fellow members of the badminton team were also members of the MethSoc, Methodist Society. And so I eventually succumbed to them. They asked me to go along to their meetings. And I've left my book behind. Hang on a sec. So they realised I was asking questions, so they gave me this book, Give God a Chance by W.E. Sangster. And it's 100 basic religious questions plainly answered. And it was a lovely little book, a very respected Methodist preacher, W.E. Sangster. So they wouldn't accept any money for it. It was a free gift. And I was very impressed about that. They were a wonderful group of Christians. So when I left university and started work, I went to the local Methodist chapel, a place called Bramcote in West Nottingham, if anybody knows where that is. So they were wonderful. They invited me into their houses for meals, to watch the television. I was staying in a dump of a place, a guest house, which was a really run-down joint. So when at church, one of the people asked me, where are you staying? I said, at the guest house, but I'm not very happy with it. He said, oh, well, come and live with us then. I couldn't believe it. Vance, I'd only just met him. He said, I'll just have to check with the boss, basically his wife. I joined their family, and they had three young children and a fourth on the way. So I was just accepted as one of the family,
I learned to love children as a result of that, because I hadn't had that much contact with young children before then. So that was a wonderful introduction, and it was because of that that I became a member of the Methodist Church, along with quite a few other young people at the same time. So those acts of kindness carried on. When Mandy and I moved from Hazelgrove to Poynton, Mandy's spine had collapsed. She could hardly move. And so we had people from this church, including some people who are here now, who came along and helped us unpack all the boxes. And they were really wonderful. They gave us plants for the garden. You know, it was. They helped us decorate the bungalow. It was a wonderful experience. So. Then ongoing from that, I've had health problems, as probably you know. I had people offering to give me lifts to Christie's. It's been one kindness after another. And as I say, that's the reason I'm standing here today, because of all those kindnesses over the years. And it strengthens your faith every time it happens. I think that's probably what I need to say.
Thank you. I think of those people giving Chris a lift, Judy and Tom and Noreen and her husband and Christine. And the lady who lives opposite to us, who lives on her own because her husband's in a home, not very old, said to me one day, "Have you got a huge family?" So I said, "No, I've just got two sons." So she said, "Well, who are all these people who keep coming and taking your husband away?" So I explained. So she looked at me and she said, "You are lucky, you know. You've got two families. You're proper family, if you like, your biological family, who also helped, and your church family." So I said to her, "Come and join us. Everybody's welcome." So we're going to go across this week with an invitation to come to the concert. And you never know, do you? You never know. Different things speak to different people. Is there anybody you could be offering a kindness to? Is there anybody you could be inviting to the concert? Is there any group in our community who we ought to show kindness to? Many questions. And then his final instructions, Micah's final words, "Walk humbly with your God." You know, perhaps this one's the most important of the three. Perhaps that's why it's on the banners twice. Because after all, most moral people would be just and merciful. We don't have the monopoly on that. To walk humbly with God is to walk in fellowship with him in modesty and without arrogance, to live in a close relationship with him. It always strikes me that Micah had his head and his heart in the things of God, if you like. He's not really up there, but you know what I mean. But he had his feet firmly on the ground, didn't he? And that's the only way to live the Christian life. We're connected at both ends, striving to live godly lives in what often seems an alien world. The starting point is to realize that we belong in those two places, and we must bring the values of one into the other world. Yes? How do we do it? How can we improve the spiritual life of ourselves and our church? By coming to worship. Maybe by going to a study group. We have a flourishing study group. They meet at 10 o'clock on a Monday in the prayer room. Well, they meet in the prayer room at the moment because it seems to be growing and growing, and soon they won't fit in there. Isn't that wonderful? Isn't that great? They'd love you to join them. Wouldn't you, Anne? She's hiding at the back. Well, it's not just Anne, is it? And Julie. And John. Why not give it a go? Or ask yourself, what's my prayer life like? How can I improve that? We're very fortunate here that we've got two active prayer groups. The first meets on a Tuesday evening at 7:30 in the prayer room, but it's also online. It's on Zoom. So you don't even have to go out of your house on a cold, rainy day, night, to join them. Zoom in. And the instructions to doing that are in your notices, which you haven't got. Brilliant. But hopefully, Steve will sort out the computer. He's sorted everything else out this morning. And we'll get them. And I'll make sure those instructions go in next week too. David leads this group. And after talking very briefly about who or what we should pray for, he leads this group. And there's also a 5-minute slot for a short meditation. It's a good place to be. A second group meets on Wednesday mornings about 9:45, again, in the prayer room. But it's quite a different group to last night's. After a much wider discussion of what we should be praying about, world events, church events, individuals, we go around the group. And we pray in turn. Now that might horrify some people. I can't pray out loud. I remember the first time I went to a study group and I was asked to open the prayer at the beginning. I nearly fell off my chair. The first time I'd been, that's cruel. And I must have looked aghast. And I said, I'll do it next week. When I've had a week to prepare it. And it took me a week, but I did it. And once you've plunged in, it becomes much, much easier. But if you don't want to pray out loud, all you have to do is touch the person next to you, and they will take over. So there's nothing to be afraid of. I think these groups have to be the foundations for a healthy church. Will you join them and strengthen our foundations? We can't afford to sit back and do nothing. We're going to move on. We're going to look at Micah's three instructions. We're going to sing about them and we're going to pray about them. But we're going to start with walk humbly with your God. We're going to turn them upside down, if you like, because I think this one, for us, is the most important. If we get that right, we'll hear God's voice speaking to us and he will lead us. So let's be still. For the presence of the Lord, the Holy One, is here. Let's remain seated for our first two hymns. Thank you. As we come into your presence, we feel unclean and not worthy of being here, but we know you are a God who forgives. So we glance back over the last week and we confess our wrongdoings, our lack of love, our apathy. We trust in your forgiveness through the cross of your Son. Help us, Lord, each in our own way, to find ways to be still in our daily life, to hear your guiding voice. We ask you to strengthen our study groups and our prayer groups. And will you show us as individuals what part we should play in the life of this church? Help us always, Lord, to walk humbly with you. But you challenge us to love mercy, to love kindness. And again, remaining seated, we sing, "Make me a channel of your peace." Thank you, Father, for all those people who have shown us kindness throughout our lives, especially those who have led us to you by what they've said, what they've done. We pray, Lord, for all the activities in this church that puts mercy and kindness into action. We think of the Ladies' Fellowship, Vox, the Film Club. We invite people in. Help us, Lord, to share our faith with them. Open up opportunities for us. And finally, Lord, strengthen us to act justly, remembering those whose lives are blighted by extreme poverty or discrimination, those who can see no way forward. We thank you for those organizations that draw our attention to injustice. Amnesty, Christian Aid, hope for justice. They track down victims of human trafficking right here in Manchester. Lord, it's so easy to turn a blind eye to what's really going on. We thank you for Richard in the way that he's opened our eyes fully to global warming. And we pray for the success of the Epiphany concert. Show us who to invite and how to play our part in caring for our beautiful world. Micah reminds us we cannot afford to do nothing. And it would be very wrong, Lord, to leave here without a prayer of lament. Our hearts break as we acknowledge nearly 12 months of the war in Gaza and Israel. We mourn for all those who've lost their lives. We cry out to you for those who've lost homes and loved ones, and for the hostages still living in fear. We pray for the civilians of Gaza, the vast majority of whom have been displaced, and many who now face starvation. In this hour of trouble, Lord, may you open the way for full and immediate humanitarian aid, food, water, medicine, to reach all in need. We pray for all the aid agencies who continue to faithfully serve and help in Gaza, knowing the dangers. May you surround them with your loving kindness and help them to draw strength for each day from you. And now, Lord, we have to add the West Bank to our lament, praying for all those who are suffering there, whose homes have been destroyed and their lands stolen. And now our thoughts turn to the Lebanon. Can we pray, Lord, that there will be no further escalation to this violence? We pray for those in positions of power, influence, and leadership in the world. May you guide them in the ways of peace. But we cry out, Lord, how long? We ask all these prayers in Jesus' name. Amen. Show me how to stand for justice.
To carry love in
grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, and the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all evermore. Amen. As you're leaving, don't forget to stop at the table in the doorway. Pick up your invitations for the concert for next week. I imagine, Richard, if you went and stood there, they can't miss you. But we do thank you for all that you've done. It's just, thank you. Here, we've got. Give him a clap.